one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and most he is in. In us all, can we say praise the Lord? Come on, can we say praise the Lord? That everything that has breath. Amen. We just bless the Lord on this afternoon. Amen. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all the ministry and everyone in their respective places, the praise team and worship leader. We thank God for the musicians. Amen. We thank God. My wife did a new PowerPoint presentation. I don't know if you all noticed it. Amen. She was there for hours. So we bless the Lord and we thank God for that. Amen. Sometimes you need a new look.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes, not a shocking new look, but a new look.
Amen.
Sometimes we do shocking new looks. And we don't know who the person is. Amen. We thank God. Amen. We thank God for the new look. We thank God. Amen. We're sad to see Sister Marcia and Brother Daryl and my girl's Destiny and Nina Lee, but we know when God calls you, he has something else for you to do.
That's right.
Amen. I was speaking with Pastor Harper. He said, you know, one thing that pastors need to realize is that saints are there sometimes for a season. I mean, they're not intended to be there forever. So we just bless the Lord. And our prayers will be with them, and the doors are always open for them to run there. Can we say amen? Amen. Truly, we thank God for that. Can we stand? Amen. At this time, we just bless the Lord. We're so grateful that God is God. Amen. And that because God is God, he knows everything we need when we need it. How many know the scriptures say God knows what things we have need of?
Before we ask.
Before we ask.
Amen.
But he still says, ask. So he knows what we have need of. He knows the events. He knows the challenges. He knows everything that's taking place in our lives before we ask. The scripture said, known unto God are all of his works from the
beginning.
So before it even took place, God already knew it. This very day, God knew where we would all be in what position we'd be undertaking. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to Micah chapter 6. And we're going to hold Job, the 33rd chapter. Amen. We won't be long because we do have an event this afternoon at Pastor Harper's. Amen. They have a 5 o'clock service. I believe it's a missionary service. Women's Day, but the men are invited. Amen. I'm going to be there. I don't know about the woman. Amen. So, amen. It's a Women's Day. But the men are invited. Amen. So don't take time to, you know, to separate from your family. Amen. Family, what's the most important thing in this whole world?
Family.
Amen. Family with God is the most important thing in this whole world. So we need to stop taking loved ones for granted, spouses, children. Amen. We need to cherish every moment. Amen. And what's her name? Shirley Caesar, not Ann. Shirley Ann Caesar. But Shirley Caesar sings a song, "Give Me My Roses." Is that right? It's "Give Me My Roses While I Live." All right, all right. Let's just get to the word. Oh, I heard Shirley Caesar. Yes. Well, I don't know about, I don't mess with James too much, but I know about Shirley. Nevertheless. Let's get on something we can all agree.
All right.
Amen. Let's go to the Word of God. How do you know we're all in agreement there?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Amen. Of this 6th chapter. Actually, I was preparing and studying for the last 3 weeks. This message just keeps coming back. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna surrender.
Surrender.
I don't know what is in it, but I know what's in it. Amen, but it has something to do for all of us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So we're going to read verses 1 through 8 if you have your Bibles. For those who do not have a Bible, it's read
on the screen.
Verse 1 reads, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise and stand thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and the strong foundation of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee?" Amen. You know, God's asking the question. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? He says, testify against me. That's God. He said, what have I done unto you? How have I wearied thee? He said, testify against me. He said, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Lord. We bless your name on this afternoon. O God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you that we're in your presence, for in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And at the right hand of pleasures evermore. Now, Lord, we ask you to move self and your servant out of the way. Lord, send thine anointing and speak. Lord, remove anything, any hindrances, any division would stop us from getting a word from the Lord. Lord, we ask you to speak this afternoon, for thy servant heareth. And Lord, we acknowledge that without you we can't do nothing. Now, Lord, we ask you to send the word of anointing. Lord, send your word to set the captives free. Lord, if any are bound up mentally, Lord, send your word. Lord, send thine anointing to open the eyes of the blind. Lord, and most of all, we ask you, oh God, send your word. Lord, so that we can cry out, Lord, what must they do to be saved? And Lord, give us a mind to walk in the light this afternoon as you're in the light. And Lord, speak. For thy servant here at the church, say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. When we read this, it seems like a pretty serious issue, wouldn't you think? Amen. A pretty serious issue. God asks his people in the first verse, arise and contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice. This contend means to fight. Amen. Contending is the Hebrew word riv, which is R-I-Y-B. Anyone that wants to take some notes, R-I-Y-B is the Hebrew word, which is riv, which means to contend or to fight or to quarrel or to wrestle in. Amen. He said, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. And this controversy is the same as contend. It means to quarrel, to contend, or to fight with. And be ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a God has an issue with his people. He says, O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I? God said, how have I messed you up? God said, how have I worn you out? God said, how have I worn your patience out? He said, if I've done anything, all I need you to do is
testify.
This represents a courtroom, a courtroom setting, and God dealing with his people. So he talks about the mountains and the hills and the foundation of the earth. God said, these things are set. This is on my side. He said, wherein have I wearied thee? What fault have you found with me? So our message today is stop fighting God.
Come on, come on.
We need to stop fighting
God.
He said, oh my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I? God said, what have I done? The reason that you're taking the position to fight against me. That's something serious to consider. What have I done? How have I wearied thee? How have I worn on your patience? God said, what have I done? What injustices have I done against you? He said, now this is the courtroom. I'm the judge. Now I'm giving you permission to testify. Hallelujah. Do you have any witnesses? God said, I'm giving you at this time the opportunity to testify. How many know when you go to court, there's always some what? Testimonies. Either testimony in favor or testimony against. God said, now I see the position that you've taken in fighting against me. He said, now I give you the opportunity to what? Testify. Amen. When we think about our lives and the challenges, we're going to go to Job in a few minutes. Hardship and difficulties have a way of bringing out the worst in a person. Hardships, difficulties, challenges have a way of bringing out the worst in people. And it's all right for the worst to come out, but it's not good when that worst, when it comes out and you take attack or fight God. Amen, because God is on our side. He says in verse 4, now you testified against me. He said, before you testify, amen, before you point your fingers at me, God said, let me tell you what I've done for you. Hallelujah. Before you bring your cause or your case or your claim against me, God said, now I'm going to put some things in order. I'm going to let you know what I've done for you.
Come on.
Hallelujah. When you didn't deserve salvation, when you weren't fit to live and you could not in a position to die, God said, I'm going to let you know what I did for you. When the death angel was hovering around your house, around your loved one, and around your children, God said, I'm going to let you know what I did for you. Hallelujah. Before you make your small claim, God said, before you bring any accusation against me, I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah, what I've done for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you almost lost your mind, didn't know if you were coming and going, God said, let me tell you what I did for you. Hallelujah, when the doctors had given up on you and your loved ones, and there was no remedy, hallelujah, and I made a way out of no way, God said, let me tell you what I did for you. Glory to God. So before you bring your claim, I testify against me, God said, I'm going to tell you what I did for you. No one of the songwriters said, when my soul looks back, anybody looking back, anybody see where God is watching from, when my soul looks back and wonder, don't fight God. Come on, tell, look at somebody and say, don't fight God.
Don't fight God.
Come on, tell him to
don't fight God.
He's been too good. He's done too much for you. Now the devil has a way of making us look at our situation to think the fault of the problem is with God. They have a way, the devil has a way of twisting the situation and making us think the fault is against God. So he says in verse 4, for I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and I... Anybody can be redeemed? Come on, anybody be redeemed? Say, God sounds like you're talking about me. Amen. He brought me out of Egypt, which is the world, and he redeemed me. Amen? And I redeemed thee out of the house of service when you were in bondage. When sin had you wrapped up, tied up, God said, I redeemed you. Before you point your finger at me, God said, let me tell you what I've done for you. He said, I went before thee with Moses and Aaron and Miriam. He said, oh, this is a term of endearment. Isn't it nice to know that God can be personal?
Lord, even when I'm wrong, even when I messed up, he's still good. Even when I don't deserve his kindness, when I don't deserve his mercy, he's still good. I like that God said, oh, my people. Aren't you glad that he knows you who you are? Aren't you glad that he knows you are his people? Even in the midst of us fighting God, he says, still you are. Can I get some help? You're still. He said, oh, my people, remember now what Balaam, the king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and Gilgal, that ye may know God. Don't you know the righteousness of God? Now, when Balaam and Balak were going against Israel, they didn't even know it. But glory to God, hallelujah, when the devil is working in your forefront, God is working. Hallelujah, when you don't know it, God is still working for you. They did not know that the king of Moab and Balaam was trying to cast a curse on them. God said, don't you remember when they came to try to curse you? I said, they are blessed. He's too righteous. He said, now, you didn't even know it. How many things has the devil planned against you? How many times has he worked behind the scenes and you didn't know it? How many times has he tried to bring a curse on your life? How many times has he tried to hinder you and you didn't know it? God said, I'm going to tell you about my righteousness. Even when you didn't know he was doing it, God said, I was right there fighting for you. Even though the devil has denied, plotted, and tried to turn me against you, he said, in my righteousness, you are mine. Aren't you glad you're God's? Aren't you glad you're sealed with the promise? Aren't you glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? So even when the devil tried to destroy you, when he tried to break down your mind, God said, I wouldn't let him do it. Because you are my people. Don't you realize how special we are to God? He didn't say you are somebody's people. He didn't say you're just anybody. He said, but you are
mine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now we're talking about God's righteousness. We ain't talking about people that mess up. Amen. People will mess up a dime a dozen in every day. But we're talking about God. They messed up. Why are you fighting God? Amen?
Amen.
God didn't do it. So why are we? God said, oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? He said, what did I do to weary you? Testify against me. God is showing how good he's been to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Now, God is dealing with them. Now they have a nerve. You know how sometimes anybody ever gets this to some low spiritual points and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know how to answer God because you're caught out there. Right. You ever get caught out there? Yes, you do.
Yes.
Amen. Because God already knew what you were going to do
before
you did. So you get caught out there and you're on the spot and God has showed you all the reasons why you should be grateful and thankful. And you say, oh, what do you want me to do? This is actually what they're asking God. I said, what do you want me to do? Then as we drop down, I say, do you want me to give my firstborn? Do you want me to give wealth and riches? Do you want me to give the greatest sacrifice? Because they're caught out there. But when you're fighting God, you won't surrender to God because of pride. Pride will cause you to know you're wrong and still try to justify yourself. Once again, pride. When you're wrong and you're caught out there, God is exposing you. Nobody else but God is exposing you. And instead of you surrendering, you begin to now fight.
The thing is, you know you're wrong. You know you need to take corrective measures. But instead of doing the right thing, you fight. Well, if you knew all that I was going through and my hardships and my dealings, you would understand still why you fighting against God. What iniquity have you found in God? I like what Pilate said. In the beginning, Pilate was judging Jesus. Anybody in here judging Jesus about this moment? Anybody judging Jesus because your situation, your plight seems unfair? Seem like the hand you've been dealt is wrong? Seem like God doesn't know what he's doing? When Pilate finally finished, he said, this man is righteous. I find
no fault.
How many find no fault?
Hallelujah.
I find
no fault.
So from verse, I believe, from 4 up to verse 7, they're trying to justify their wrong. Well, what do you want me to do? Amen. And he tells them in verse 8, he says, go to verse 8. I want you to read it so you don't think I just said it. Now, the thing is, sometimes we say, well, if I knew what to do, God tells them, he said, now, you're fighting me. You're contending with me. God said, he, meaning I, have shown thee.
Amen.
And that includes the women, too. Amen. So don't think y'all have this. Amen. He has shown thee, O man, what is
good.
God has shown thee. There is no doubt. There is no questioning. There is no ambiguity. There is nothing that can refute this. God has shown thee what is
good.
And what does the Lord require of thee? Now they're trying to get smart with God. God said, wait a minute. Before you even start justifying it, if it wasn't for this and if it wasn't for that, if this hadn't been different and that hadn't been different, he said, wait a minute. Stop right there. He had shown thee what is good and what does the Lord require of
me.
It's not up to our imagination to try to figure out because God has shown thee. And when we go, we're going to go to Job in a moment here. He says in Job 33, he said, God said, I spoke to you in dreams and in visions. He said, I spoke once, yea, twice. But the problem is not me. You don't have deliverance because don't have your deliverance because of me. He said the reason you don't have deliverance is because you have not perceived
Amen.
What I've been trying to show you. Why can't you perceive it? Because we're fighting. Amen. How do you get someone to agree or help you when you're fighting? Amen. You ever see people are drowning? Amen. They said the worst value we ever have is when you're trying to help somebody else.
Right.
This drowning. That's one of the worst battles. People are drowning every day. Amen. Trying to help them. The worst battle you ever had. Why? Because they are fighting
you.
I guess. Amen. So then he showed them what is good. But to do justly means to do what's right in the eyes of God. He has shown who? Thee. There's no guessing. But to do justly and to love
mercy.
To do what? To do just, do what's right. Do what is just. To look, mercy means to be kind, tenderhearted, gentle, and forgiveness. But then you need to walk. Not before God, not behind God, but what?
Yes.
We're in a partnership.
Yes.
So I'm walking humbly
with God.
Are you walking with God? Amen. I have, sometimes you get a little upset when somebody get upset. They try to like lag behind. Come on, you parents have children. You spouses have spouses. Get mad, so you go ahead. I'll be there. Right? All right. Okay. I'm talking about the other churches. I know y'all can't relate with this, but just for the sake of it, just as imagine them other people. You know how to get mad? I got a car, you got a car, you go ahead, I'll meet you there. If God said, no, I don't want you to go before me. I don't want you to go behind me, but I want you to go with me. Amen. I want you to walk with me humbly. You know what humble says? Now, I can justify that. I can make a reason for why I am like I am. How many of you know that you can justify every reason for you for being like you are? But he said, I want you to walk with me. God is walking, and guess what? He take a right step, I take a right step.
Right.
Right
now.
Him and I and Cadence together, right, you soldiers?
Right.
When you get out of step, what does the sergeant say?
Get
in step. Because you're not walking with. You're doing your own thing when you're out of step. So God said, I don't want you to do what you want to do. I want you to get in step with me.
Amen.
To walk humbly with thy God. Now let's go to Job 33. Who are you fighting against this afternoon? Amen. You know, are you fighting God when God is fighting all of our battles? Hardships, difficulties, and challenges have a way to bring out the worst in us. When you get one of those unexpected trials that has you on an emotional low, you take it on everything moving and not moving, everything you can imagine and can't imagine, because it happened unexpectedly. Amen. Job 33 and verse 8. Amen. I have quite a few scriptures, but we're not going to take up a lot of time because we don't want to delay going to the program this afternoon. But we need to stop fighting God.
Amen.
How do you fight God? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of
God.
Humble yourself under the mighty
hand of God.
And he will exalt you in due season. We're fighting God and can't figure out why we don't have deliverance. We're fighting God and trying to figure out why aren't things getting better. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord
require.
But when you fight God, you say, well, even though I know what God said and what I should be doing, I need to go try it my way. You got to walk humbly with God.
Amen.
Our problem is a lot of us are walking in front of God. God said, wait a minute, brother and sister, I didn't tell you to go ahead and stay with me. Amen. We got a some kind of relation. You can put whatever you want to put in front. Somebody call it a revelation. When God, you get a revelation, you walk with God. You got some kind of, can we say relation? You got some kind of relation. But it ain't a revelation. Because when you get a revelation, you walk with God. So we get some kind of relation. Amen. And the reason I say elation, because elation will either push you ahead or elation will hold you. I don't know where you are, but you know where you are. So what kind of elation do you have? I know the addition ain't right. Well, I'm from where? Down south. I made it up. I told somebody I'm from down south. They said, we don't do that. I said, okay, well, I'm from my part of the south too. But your elation will either hold you back or it will push you ahead. And God, when you go way ahead, you know, I said, wait a minute, come back here. Like your children, when they get ready to run in the street to danger, you're screaming and yelling, and then they keep. Because their elation has taken them ahead of you. Amen. Or there's a whole lot of trouble behind you, and you keep telling them, say, keep up, I don't want you back there. But their elation is keeping them. So what kind of elation do you have? What kind of elation do you have? Now they have devilations, revelations, all kind of elations. Amen. They made all that up because they ain't never heard of no devilation. So if they can make up a elation, can I make up one?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What kind of elation do you have? The reason that you're not walking with God. Instead of you walking with God, you are fighting God. Verse 8 reads, Job. How many know Job went through some stuff?
Oh yeah.
God said about Job, Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? What had Job done?
Nothing.
But God knew in his infinite knowledge. How many know God has infinite knowledge?
Oh, really?
There's some stuff going on that's going to happen in our lives and we don't even know it yet.
But God knows it. And because God knows it, he does preparations.
Amen.
To prepare us for the test that is ahead of us. So God tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, not too many of us can make this claim. There's not another one in him like an in what?
All.
Amen. Job is so special, there's not another one like him in all the earth. A perfect man, one that skeweth evil. Amen. That one won't turn his back on God. He said, have you considered maybe what you're going through this afternoon? Because God has been bragging on you. Amen. Maybe it's not because you've done anything wrong, but God looked at you and said, brother or sister, I saw how faithful you were when nobody else was faithful.
Come on.
I saw when you prayed when nobody else prayed. I saw when you fought when nobody else fought. So God said, I'm bragging on you.
How many know the devil don't believe the brag?
The devil don't believe the brag. So God has been bragging on you, and now all of a sudden, the devil said, I don't believe that. He said, just give him lip. He said, you know what? You talk about all brother and sister, elder, minister, deacon, mother. Who do I forget? Anybody? Songwriter, usher, praise team leader, everybody. You talk about all they do. So let me show you something. He said, you just let me get my hands on them. And the devil said, I'll make them curse you. From the time that God cursed the devil, the one thing he's been trying to do is get the people of God to do what?
Curse
God to their face. From the time God cursed the devil, he's been on a mission. And the mission is get the people of God to curse God and God. Amen. So we look at our situation and say, oh God. Any old gardeners?
Yeah.
All right, come on. All right. All right. All right. All right. Oh God. Or if God. Amen.
Amen.
If you would have been here, my servant had not died. We got a whole lot of Marys and Marthas saying, if you would have, could have, should have, would have. Amen. A whole lot of that, right?
Right.
Because we don't understand that what God is taking you through, he says, said I not unto thee, that if thou shalt believe, you shall see the glory.
Yes.
So we're if and would have, could have, and should have. And God said, I'm trying to show you something. Hey, look at somebody and say, stop fighting God. I'm trying to show you something. Come on, stop fighting God.
Everybody looking, okay, look at me, tell me. Y'all ain't looking at each other because some of y'all don't know each other. That's right. All right. Y'all don't know me either, but I'm in the spirit, so talk to me. All right. Amen. 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 Look at me and say, stop fighting God.
Stop fighting God.
He's on your side.
He's on your side.
Stop fighting God.
Stop fighting God.
He's on your side.
He's on your side.
The world can be against you. Our saving grace and consolation is that God is on our side. So the devil is taking your situation and blowing it up and magnifying it in your mind to make you think the whole world and everything is against you. Because his ultimate desire is to get you to do what? Curse God. Don't ever let yourself get in a position where you begin to question the omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence of God. God encompasses all. The Bible says when everything is finished, God shall be all in all. And that's a whole lot in there, but I'm not going to go there. But God is still all in all. Verse 8 reads, surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I've heard the voice of thy word saying, I am clean. This is when you fight God. You fight God now. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold it. This is when it gets real bad here. Amen. This is when things aren't working out at all. Behold it, he findeth occasion against me. What? He counted me. Wait a minute. Is he talking about who? God?
hardships, difficulties, challenges, when you don't realize who God is, will make you question and fight against God. He finding occasion against me. He counted me at his. I heard him say, oh, my people. Now all of a sudden, hello? When things get bad, yes, you will go on the other side in a hurry. That means you're listening to the wrong voices. You're listening to the wrong spirit. That's why John said you got to try the spirit to see if it's of God. Because when you start finding fault with God, you know that's not God's spirit. When you start finding fault with the way God is leading the church, it's not God's spirit. Amen? Now, who are we talking about? Isn't this God? He put us by feet. God put you in jail? Stocks are when you're in chains and fetters and you can't get out, you're bound? Hardships, difficulties will make you fight against God. He marked all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is. I said that God is greater than men. This is the Elihu. Job had been complaining so much to his three friends. He said, if I had a days to stand that could negotiate between me and God. So he asked for it, so God gave him what he asked for. How many know you have to be careful what you ask for? You have to be careful what you ask for. Even in your foolishness, you have to be careful what you ask for. So Elihu was there in the stead of God. But if we went down a little bit further, God does come. So you know what God does? He said, now you're going the wrong direction. You have now messed up. You are fighting me. So I'm going to send somebody to help get you back on track. How many know you can still fight a person that's godly trying to help you? Because you are not walking humbly with thy God. Why doth thy strive? This is the same word as contend and controversy. It's the word R-I-Y-B. Why are you fighting against God? Job's difficulties. Though he, in the beginning, the Bible says that even through all of his hardship, Job fell down and worshiped. But how many know that the devil likes to turn the heat up?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Job said, I thought it was going to get better. It didn't get better, it got
worse.
And then when it got worse, the worse got
worse.
Got so bad. Job, all he could do was sit there and sackcloth and ashes for 7 days. Amen. Got so bad that the person closest to Job that should have been his source of strength and encouragement tried to get him to do what the devil wanted him to do. The devil is trying to get you to do what? And? His wife. Said, do you still hold fast your integrity with God? You still believe in God? You still have faith in God? Look, we lost everything, including our children, because of you. Curse God. He died. Now, we know what kind of nation that is, right? That nation ain't from God. That nation is not from God. Because God would not tell you to curse hell and die. Because if you curse God and die, you wind up where?
Yeah.
Come on. Who's leading? Who's guiding? Who's talking to you to get you to curse God and
die?
A whole lot of people that are cursing God are leaving church.
Yeah.
That voice. That spirit. Hey, God.
Come on,
because the devil knows when I get you out there, I'm gonna set so many traps. I gotta kill you while you're out there. Because if you come to yourself, I'm gonna lose you. So the very minute you leave the church and start walking your own way, calamity, calamity, calamity. Almost killed, almost this, almost that. He's trying to kill you while you are, because you are now walking in the curse. Yes, God won't curse you, but you can curse
Curse yourself, amen. Why not thus strive against God? Why, for he giveth not? Who are we talking about? God. Whatever is going on in a lot of things in our lives, guess what? We don't like it. But God does not have to give an account of any of his matters. For God speaketh. God has been speaking to you through what you've been going through. Yes, he has. Because the scripture says he has showed thee. Can I get an amen? So God has been speaking. The fault is not in God. When God spoke, you did not surrender, but you fall. So God speaks what?
Wise
and
wise.
He's doing what? He's speaking. God is showing you. God is ordering your step. God is directing thy path. He said, but yet thou
receivest not.
Somebody say, God is speaking.
God is speaking.
But you don't know what he's telling you. God was speaking to Job through all of his hardships. But Job would not receive it. Why? Because Job was contending, striving, and fighting. God has shown thee what is
good.
Good. Amen. Somebody said, I know what I should be doing. Then guess what? Amen.
I know what I should be doing, and I know that this is a bad influence.
And stop doing it.
Because if you're not doing what God shows you to do, then you're not walking humbly.
Well, what's the opposite of humbly with God? Let's keep going. We'll find out. He said, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men in the slumbering upon their bed, God is still speaking. Even when you sleep in your dreams, God has been speaking to you. Then he opened the ears of men and God has been doing all this because he's trying to do what? Help you. God is trying to direct you. So, go back to that for a minute. Go back to the verse 16. Oh, you don't have to go there. I just read it. It says that God openeth the ears of men and God gives you your
instruction.
But are you fighting God? God has given you your instructions. Now, the opposite of humbly is pride or proud.
God is giving you instructions, but in your pride,
you are fighting God. You won't surrender. And verse 17 says, well, God did all that he may withdraw man. God said, I'm trying to get you to stop doing what you want to do. You have purpose what you want to do, even though God is speaking once, yea, twice. Speaking in a dream, in a vision, in deep sleep, on the slumbering of your bed. God is speaking. He's giving you instructions. He's sealed up the instructions because he's trying to withdraw you from your own purpose. You purpose to do something. God said, no, I don't want you to do it. He said that most of all, I'm trying to hide
pride.
Where's he trying to hide it from? Man. Amen. Job allowed his hardships, his difficulties, his challenges to cause him to fight against God. Well, what are the signs? Somebody said, you better hurry up, your time is running out. What are the signs that we're fighting God when we refuse to surrender? You don't need no great, you don't need a whole lot of mystery and somebody to come and do a whole lot of prophesying and stuff over you. Just be obedient. Somebody's been going from church to church, person to person, asking, just hear the word because God has showed you. You know what God wants you to do.
Amen.
And because you haven't heard it, somebody said, well, you have itch and ears, you speak to yourself, teachers, because you want to hear what you want to hear.
That's what itching ears mean. I haven't got the answer I want in this church. I haven't got it from this minister, from that elder, so I'm going to keep going till I get what I want to hear. God has shown thee what is good. He has shown thee what he expects from you. God wants us to walk humbly. God is trying to withdraw pride from man. Amen. I do have more scriptures. Amen. Lord willing, can we say, well, we're supposed to be doing the Right Mind series. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you can't have a right mind if you fight God.
Amen.
You can't have a right mind if you're fighting God. God's whole desire, go to Job 40. We just finished with Job 40. The rest I do, Lord willing, another time. We don't want to fight God. We want to surrender to God. Because God has been faithful to us. And God has been more than faithful. Amen. This is Job. Elihu spoke to Job in chapter 32 to chapter 36. But Elihu obviously did not get the message across. From chapter 36 to chapter 41, God speaks. Because Job had not yet surrendered himself. 40 verse 1 says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that... He's doing what? Now, this is God speaking. This is not a man or anybody else. Shall he that... God's going to fight against me. I am the one almighty God. There is nothing higher than me. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty also?
Instructed.
That's when you fight God. When you're trying to give God instructions. When you're trying to tell God, you should have done it this way, and I don't like this happening. Amen. Oh, I need to go to another scripture. We're going to do those on Friday. Amen. When you contend with God, now you're all of a sudden going to tell God what to do.
That happened.
You are now fighting God. Stop fighting God. Take a selah. Take a spiritual pause and hear what God is saying to you. You can't keep fighting God and think you're going to get God's blessings. How do you walk in opposition to God and rebellion to God and say, the Lord is blessing me right now? Hello? God doesn't work like that. Amen? Instruct the Almighty, he that have mercy. Reprove means to do what? Correct. Now this is what God is telling who? Job. The very man that he bragged on. He said, you're contending with me. You are now instructing me. And now you are correcting me. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting God. Amen?
Amen.
Let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, it took Job all this long. But when you're in hardships, brothers and sisters, when you're going through something difficult, we don't understand it. Well, how many knows that the Bible says Jesus was our high priest? And he was touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. He was touched with everything that we go through. The Bible said, yet without sin. In other words, he did not surrender. So because he's our perfect example, he was touched with everything that you and I feel, but he did not surrender. God knows what we need. Amen. It took Job 40 chapters. But you know what's the best thing? Is he finally got it.
Amen.
He finally got it. Job realized, whoa. Instead of me working with God, instead of me walking with God, I've allowed my difficulties, I've allowed my hardship to cause me to fight against God. So he said, behold, I am. All before he was justifying himself. Earlier in the scripture said, unto Job, he said, you think you are more righteous than God. Whoa. But finally, when God, if you read from 36 up to 40, now, did God have to do a little bit to get Job's attention? Absolutely not. He had to do a whole lot. But he finally planet. How much more does God have to do in our lives for us to finally get it and stop fighting against God? Pride is the worst monster that's ever been created. How bad is pride? Lucifer should have been up there with Michael and Gabriel. But pride caused him to be cast from heaven. Amen. With Lord willing, we'll go over there on Friday. He said, all I found, what? I know I've been running my mouth a whole lot. You ever tell somebody to stop running your mouth so much? We don't say it, but we think it. Jones, I've been running my mouth a whole lot. I've been saying a whole lot of the wrong things. But finally, he says, I will lay my hand. And everybody take your hand. It's time to do more listening than talking. That's why James said be swift to hear and
slow to speak.
It's time to listen. When Job finally got it and realized he was fighting God, he said, you know what? I'm going to lay my hand. Now don't just do it in church. It's easy in church because the Spirit of the Lord is here. The greatest challenge is when you're not in the presence of God to stop fighting God. Verse 5 said, once I had a folk spoken, he said, but guess what? I finally got it. Anybody finally get it? Amen. You finally got it? He says, once have I spoken, but I will not answer yet. Twice, but I will. That's when you know you got to be stopped where you are. It's time for the church to stop fighting God. Amen. Then the Lord answered Job. And said, gird up your loins now like. So you've been running your mouth all this time. This is what it means. You've been running your mouth all this time. He said, now I want you to talk. Gird yourself like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou to me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou? You know, a person is in a bad position. He said, wilt thou condemn me so that you can be right? That's the person that's fighting against God. When they condemn God, then they might be what? Righteous. Let us stand. That's far enough. Lord willing, we'll go further Friday evening. It's time to stop doing what? You know, God knows, and the devil knows. As long as you're fighting God, you will never surrender. And as long as you're fighting God, God cannot have pride. As the altar workers, the elders and the ministers come forward. As long as you fight God, God cannot help you. The only way that God will ever be in a position or have be in a way to help you is when you want surrender. It's time to lay our hands on our mouth and say, Lord, not my way, not my will, but thine. Can we say, thy will?
Thy will
be done. It's time to surrender. And in surrendering, we say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting against you. Gabriel asked the brother the question. He said, will you find yourself to fight against God in our hardships? Some of us have taken a position